Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. I know it's Sunday, but come on, show me some life and love, okay? I want to kind of challenge y'all doing good out there. I know that some folks are not well and everything else, but I want to challenge you to bring one person every Sunday. Can you do that? Can you bring a person? Can you bring even if it's a cadaver, can you bring a person? Okay? I know God can breathe life into that which is dead. Now, I'm glad somebody got that. I believe in the power of testimonies. How many of you believe in the power of testimony? How many of you believe in the power of testimony? There are testimony and then there are testifonies. Now, today I'm going to have two wonderful testimonies of how God can redeem and how God can deliver and how God can heal people. And he still does it to this very day. And the two of them are, basically, there's Emil. I want to have come up and share really briefly, and I mean briefly, about what God has done in this life.
Okay, as some of you know, I've been very sick for many, many years. And especially my cancer, my testicle cancer, was very severe and very kind of 18 years old. So for the last 10 years now, I've been suffering under that mentally. Not physically, but mentally, I've been burdened and very down and just not feeling good. And basically... What?
Why were you feeling down like that? Why were you feeling down?
You know, as a man, the greatest, as a Christian man, I believe the greatest joy is to have a baby, is to give your wife a baby. And now that I'm married, I the doctor said basically you cannot make babies. And that is not a good thing for a husband to hear that. And 3 months ago, I got a very, very bad report from a doctor. He said basically you're doomed. And I went to this guy, Korean doctor, very, very wonderful guy. And he looked at me, he said, God bless you, you're perfectly fine. And waiting 10 years for that result is amazing. It brings an amazing relief, amazing peace to our family. And we can now relax, because 10 years is a long time. So Friday, I celebrated by buying a Greek-English dictionary. And I'm very happy now.
Yes, he's a nerd.
Praise the Lord. God is healing, and I'm free now.
So amen.
Thank you.
That's you know, the beautiful thing, you know, with Emil is that he came in, and he's like, I got to have a man moment with you. I went, man moment? What's a man moment? And he's like, all the women, out, 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 out. I was like, okay, this is getting awkward. This is getting really weird. Man moment number one in my life. And he comes in, and then he starts crying. Tears of, and it wasn't like he was depressed or anything, but he was tears of joy that the fact that God can and is still in the business of healing people. He's still in the business. He's never gone out of business. He cares so much that, you know, 18 years old. I mean, the fact is that Emil has gone through so much physically. He's had a brain tumor. He's been, you know, he's had so much gone on in his life, testicular cancer, as a young man. You know, and now God has redeemed that. God has, you know, just, he's going to use that. Yeah, and I'm praying that, you know, they won't just have one child. Or, you know, because you can imagine his wife is like this big and he's this big. Can you imagine their child be this big, you know? I can imagine the grocery bill will be awful, but I'm not kidding. I got some stories about Emil, but anyways. Yeah, well... But praise God for that, amen? Now, the next testimony is again about healing, and it's about deliverance and how God can transform anyone, anyone, from anywhere, okay? So, without further ado, Renee, would you like to come on?
Hello, again. Okay, my testimony is about God delivering me from where I was to where I am today. A brief background in order for you to understand what God has done in my life is that at the time that I was maybe, 20s, my young 20s, I had gone through so many things that I had found myself struggling with a severe eating disorder, and I was struggling with suicide and struggling with self-harm and over-exercise and abusing the laxatives and all of those things that had deteriorated my body to a point where I was having a heart attack at the age of 21, 22 now, and found myself in the hospital. And the problem is, in America, the way things like this work is that you are considered a mental case. It is not considered a heart issue. It is not considered an emotional issue. It is considered a mental issue. And so I found myself living in psychiatric wards, psych wards, and was to the point of being considered a ward of the state, which means that I am no longer in control of my own decisions. And although I was an adult, I was considered incapable of making my own decisions. And at that point in time, their main solution is to put you on every kind of psychiatric medication that they know. And so at one point in time, I was on upwards of 10 psychiatric medications. And so my testimony is that, one, God has healed me emotionally. God has healed me physically. But even beyond that, actually, it has been almost 2 weeks now, almost 3 weeks maybe, that I have been off the last medication that I was put on during that season. So for a period of 6 years, I was trapped in all of these medications that I was put in and put under. And praise the Lord, this is the first time in my life that I have been free from all medications, because God heals, and God is the one who stabilizes my emotions and stabilizes my brain and all of those things. So God is amazing. And he is the one who has the power to do that. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. You know, if you know someone who's going through something, we all know people who are going through different things in life, you have a testimony. And that power of your testimony can alter someone's destiny. It can alter someone's life. So if you have a story of God's amazing grace in your life, and you want to share it, do it. Don't wait for a moment. Don't wait for a sign. The sign is do it. Just do it, okay? And it'd be kind of ironic if somebody goes from here today and they see someone that they know, and then they see a Nike sign. Just do it. That would be hilarious. But anyways, excuse my sore throat as I try to plow on through this series of called Signs of the Times. And basically, I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ and those that dwell within, individual believers and corporate believers, should be prepared at all times and all seasons, no matter what. Because Jesus, you know, we have to be prepared. Jesus will return at a day and an hour that no man knows. And I don't care if somebody wants to, you know, try and work out when he's going to come. Listen, no one knows. No one knows. Only the Father knows. And what we're to be doing is we are to be about the Father's business. We are meant to be going out and doing what he has called us to do within the body and outside of the body. And it's important for us to grab a hold of the reality of that truth, because God is not slow in concerning his promises. That's what the Bible says. He is not slow. Half cup. Come on, dude. I'm European. Give me a full cup. Anyway. Actually, I'm British, not European. So there you go. anyways, that the fact is that the entire church is to be prepared. Be prepared to serve, be prepared to, you know, just do what God requires of us to do. You know, we have to be prepared to come to church on Sunday. We got to be prepared to do our work. But we have to be ultimately be prepared to come face to face with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, penultimately. some of you may know, David and Brenda, you know, he serves in a vineyard church, and sometimes he comes in here and now and again. His father passed away yesterday, and his father was a, thank you. His father was a pastor, and he went peacefully. I thank God for that. And, it, you know, I was talking to him on Friday about this, and I was just saying that, you know, my friend, are you ready? Are you prepared? You know, the thing is, it's just strange that the next day that he went home, he went home. His father was prepared. His father was ready. You know, the thing is, we always wait to the end of our days to be prepared, whereas we should be prepared now. Anytime and at every time, we should be prepared. And in Matthew 24, 25 through 28, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Amen. And when we read about the end times, when we read about these things, we got Tim LaHaye, we've got all of these fictional books, there's all these different types of commentaries out there, but what saith the scripture? What does the Bible say? Everybody can have their own personal interpretation, and I'm not denouncing that. It's good that you study the scripture and everything, but what does the scripture instruct us to do and informs us and how we should be prepared? And we have gone through it that, you know, Jesus says, you know, see to it, take heed, pay attention to that no one leads you astray. He says that in the end times there will be many false prophets, there will be many false Christs, and, you know, they're going to seek to lead astray the masses. And, you know, and something I want you to grab a hold of. The two testimonies that you saw today, you know, is the miraculous working power of God. I've seen it instantly. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs. I've known people who were literally on death's doorstep to be healed within the hour. And then you have this, what I call this long sense of healing, this long deliverance that goes on. And, you know, just because it looks miraculous doesn't mean it's from God. I'll say that again. Some miracles are from God because they glorify God and they just encourage and uplift the people. But some miracles, just because they're miraculous, doesn't mean they're from God. The enemy works with signs and wonders to perform, even to deceiving, if possible, the elect. That's what Matthew 24, and also if you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you know, when we see these things happening, Jesus says, don't believe it. Don't believe the hype. Don't go out there. Just don't believe it. And, you know, it's important for us to grab a hold of what the scripture says and how we are to be prepared and how we are to be living within the realm of truth. And, you know, the second coming of Christ isn't just a fanciful thought. It's a reality that we should be prepared for. I cannot emphasize the word prepared enough. If somebody asks you what's your position, just say standing up and being prepared, you know, in regards to theology of the end times. They'll go, oh, well, I'm mid-trib, I'm post-trib, I'm prep, blah, blah. And I just, blah. Doesn't matter. Jesus says you have to be prepared. That's what you need to know, and that's what you have to walk in. And, you know, when we read this, we have to understand that He gives us a breakdown. I mean, you could read the book of Revelation and you see this, you know, this colorful language that's being used, this apocalyptic language, these images that we can't comprehend that they could at that time. And Jesus, in verse 29, he talks about the turbulent signs that are going to take place. He's going to mention about how the heavens are going to be shaken and how, how stars will fall from heaven and the moon will not give its light and everything else like that. And, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot that's been said about cosmic events and things that are going on, like near misses with these great big meteors and all the rest of it and stuff like that. But, you know, the revelation of God's judgment will affect all nations in regards to cosmic events that will happen in the shaking of the heavens. There is no, you cannot deny it. It's undeniable that things are going to happen. And I want to give you a recent thing that happened in Russia. In February the 15th of this year, at about 9:30 a.m., a meteorite impacted the city of Chelyabinsk. Did I say that right, Nargiza? Wherever you are. Oh, she's not here. Chelyabinsk. And it's 930 miles east of Moscow, and it's near Kazakhstan. The meteor, and it wasn't a small meteor either, was traveling at 30 kilometers or 19 miles per second. And it was visible. And its sonic boom was felt in other towns. As it burst over the city, over 1,000 people were injured. Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev said the meteor could be a symbol. Listen to this. This is Putin's right-hand man. Said that the meteor could be a symbol for the vulnerability of the economy and the whole planet. It is amazing how sometimes words will come out through people that you wouldn't expect. And for the Prime Minister, Dmitry Medvedev, I can say that with marbles in my mouth, it's kind of difficult. But, you know, it's interesting how people, when events, cataclysmic events or cosmic events happen, how quickly people will get religious. And they will be like, oh, it's a sign. But I want to show you the video of the meteor incident in Russia. Go ahead.
Над городом Челябинском был заметен объект, который пролетает по воздуху большой скоростью, оставляя след в воздухе. Спустя 2 минуты было слышно последовательно 3 хлопка. И образовавшейся ударной волной были выбиты стекла в городе Челябинске и ближайших городах.
Челябинск попал в зону действия метеоритного дождя. Я думаю, специалисты позже дадут более точные данные. Хотел бы обратиться к жителям города с просьбой сохранять спокойствие.
Заходишь, с правой стороны сразу стоит.
The actual sonic boom just shattered windows.
Что это такое? Бомбардировка, нахуй. Артподготовка, блин. Да не сын, не сын, пока еще ничего нету. Артподготовка это.
All right. Well, as you can see, you know, there, you know, people say, where's the evidence of this? It's happening. And it just happened to be caught that the fact is that people, you know, we're going to go all Armageddon and deep impact and all this type of stuff. No, let's just not get panicked here. These are signs that point to the coming that we should not be afraid of. Many of us, we see things like this and we're like, oh, man, there's wars, rumors of wars, and there's famines, earthquakes, floods, and all this type of stuff. We should be able to stand firm and go, these clearly represent signs that point to the coming of Christ. That shouldn't put us in fear and trembling, but should be able to actually get us more prepared for what is to come. That should help us to be prepared about being about our Father's business. And if we're not about our Father's business, then whose business are you going around? Because if it's not your Father's business, it's no business at all.
And all God's people say?
Because, you know, Jesus is very clear on that. very, very clear. You know, that he will bring in, he will harvest the earth, and then then there will be a separation of the goats and the sheep. There'll be the wise virgins, there'll be the foolish virgins, and it's going to happen. We cannot just wait for that moment. We have to be prepared for that moment. We have to be prepared. And the sign of the sun, in verses 30 through 31, then will appear in heaven the sign of the sun. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, there's a particular cult group out there called Sinchonji, and New Heavens and New Earth. And one of the things that they do to dupe Christians, those who are not grounded in the word, they will say, do you believe that Jesus will return on a literal cloud or a spiritual cloud? The angels said to the disciples, the way you saw him go is the way you see him come, literally on a cloud. That's what it says. And here in Matthew 24, he points to in Daniel chapter 7. It says, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. You know, when we see this, we have to understand that there are some parts of the scripture that, you know, can be interpreted allegorically and all the rest of it using the imagery. But listen, we have to look in the New Testament when it says in Acts, it says the way you saw him go, he ascended before them in a cloud, is the way he will come back. So if anybody comes up to you and says, well, is that a literal cloud or a spiritual cloud? Literal. That's what the scripture says. And like the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, the second coming of Christ is not good news for everyone. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. And even though this has a reference in the Old Testament to Zechariah 12, 10 through 14, the mourning here that Jesus is talking about when he returns, the mourning here will not be of repentance, but one of deep despair at the second coming of Christ. I love it when T.D. Jakes says, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because more or less, in our own lives, we have to get ready, get ready, get ready. It's the truth. You know, what's the point of looking back and going, oh, if only. Oh, I should have, I could have, I would have, but I didn't. You know? So we have to be prepared in a loud trumpet call. The calling of the coming of the king for his people to be prepared and to be ready. That's what that is. He gathers them in from all nations, from where the gospel is preached to where? All nations. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. It is a call. When you think about in the Old Testament, and they have the shofar, and they blow the shofar, it's used in a number of different ways. And the shofar is used to, first of all, to call his people to be prepared and get ready for battle. Secondly, it's also a call for the entrance of a king. You have to be ready at the blowing of the shofar. When that loud trumpet call is given, will you be ready for battle? Will you be prepared for the coming of the king? And when you think of that the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world, and then the end will come, this is to show how far the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. When he gathers in his elect, it'll be to all nations. To all nations. And, you know, guys, some people think, you know, when you talk about end time events, when you talk about eschatology and you talk about all these different things, people don't want to touch it. People don't want to talk about it. People get confused about it. People mystify it. People just deem it as something strange. But it's not. We have to read all of Scripture, not part of Scripture. We have to accept the whole truth, not part of the truth. If you only accept part truth, you've accepted a whole lie. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. In verse 32 and 33, Jesus says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you also see these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. When Jesus is saying, learn the lesson from the fig tree, the word lesson here is where we get the English word parable. So those of you who are teachers, you are teaching your kids lessons. You're teaching them parables. But hopefully they'll... I've lost my train of thought. Something just came into my mind. A parable has always been defined as an earthly lesson with a divine purpose and a principle in mind. Jesus is telling us that he's given us the sense of purpose. When you see the fig tree and you see it all coming together, when you see all of these things, you know, there is a print. You got to keep these things in mind, these things at heart. When what Jesus said about this generation will not pass away until all these things take in place. I have heard it said many times when I was in Bible college, people will turn around and they would be like, oh, yeah, we believe it's this generation or it's that generation. But it's not about that. Jesus is referring to his generation at that time. Truly, I say to you, there will not be a stone, there will not be left here on one stone upon another that will not be thrown down in regards to the temple and the destruction of the temple. We, in our generation, may see the rebuilding of the temple. Who knows? It may be the next generation. All we need to know is to be prepared. You know what? Don't pass away. Don't miss the opportunity to get ready. The temple and the fig tree, when you look at Jesus' time and you look at the temple, it had all the externalities. It all looked good. It all sounded good. It all, you know, but the thing is, even Jesus went in there twice, turned over the tables and said, listen, this is supposed to be a prayer, a house of prayer for all nations, but you've become, it's now a den of thieves. He turned over the tables. The priesthood was corrupted. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, and everything had become corrupted. Everybody had the externalities. But just like the fig tree had the look that it was leafy and everything else, it lacked. You know where it lacked? Fruit. And it's important that when we look at Matthew 21, 18 through 22, you'll see that Jesus, when he goes to the fig tree and he goes to look for something to eat, and there was nothing there, what did he do? He cursed the fig tree. And then he walked away from it. And then the following day, they come back and they're like, Master, that fig tree that you cursed, he's like, oh. You know, in our lives, in this church, my greatest desire is that good fruit is born. And I can honestly say when I look at Emil and I look at Renee and I look at so many others that I've had the pleasure of interacting with, I can honestly say I see fruit. I do. I see God at work. And how that affects other people is an amazing thing. And you know, my desire for this church, even though I'm proclaiming, you know, about us being prepared, I want us, honestly, deep down inside, I want us to be about our Father's business. You know, I said at the beginning, and I said jokingly, you may think I said it jokingly, but I kind of wasn't, but, you know, if you can bring one person every week to church, whether they stay or go, you bring that one person, they hear the truth, and they'll leave, and let God at work in their lives. You know, you are preparing. You are getting ready. You're about your Father's business. You're about the King's business. One person can make a difference. That one person is the one I'm looking at. You. God, I want to kind of take away the mythology that pastor does everything. You know, I think it was Renee that found that article, 12 Things You Should Know About Your Pastor. And I read it, and I kind of was chuckling to myself and going, wow, wow. I'd encourage you to read that. There's only one man that we should be focusing in on, Christ. And the other thing that we should be looking at also as well is, are we going about his business? Are we following from the front? Are we, you know, if you all let me do everything around here, dude, it'd be a mess. So I want you, the people of God, to be prepared in season and out of season to be about the Father's business, because it's your responsibility as it is my responsibility. You know, it's very, very important. And I love you enough to tell you that. Any good father would tell his children the truth, even if it hurts. But I want you to learn this lesson. I don't want any fruitless trees in this church. I want fruitful trees. I want Psalm chapter 1, men and women who will bear fruit in all season, and they will prosper in all that they do. That is my greatest desire. It will always be my greatest desire for everyone in this church and for those to come as well. Rachel. I'm sorry today, folks. I'm sinuses, my throat. Pray for my healing. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment to pray and reflect. And ask ourselves this really, really brutal truth, brutal, honest question to ourselves. Am I prepared? Am I ready to be about my, am I ready to share my faith? Am I ready to share testimony? Am I prepared to bring someone in? Am I prepared for the coming of the King? Am I prepared? Am I ready? Lord, your church is amazing. It's diverse. Different people from all over the world worshiping in spirit and in truth today, Lord. Some churches in different parts of the world going through heavy persecution. Some churches in this world, Lord, living in great affluence. But Lord, there's such a great sense of purpose in your church. Knowing you, knowing what you've called us to do, being prepared. And I just simply ask you, Father, that every one of your children here this day would just be prepared. To give, be prepared to do, be prepared to share. And Lord, I just simply look to you. Touch the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, for those who are not here, speak to them, convict them. For those who are traveling back home, back to Korea from home in the U.S., I pray that you would just watch over them and strengthen them. But Lord, I ask you that your church, which is wonderful and amazing, be prepared. And Lord, as we have this time together, that we would not shrink back, but be catapulted forward and do what you've called us to do. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now, this day, this week, this month, this year, to the end of your days, till Jesus returns. Being ever mindful that you should be prepared. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, let's have some fellowship.